We're grateful to these men for leading us so well in our worship this morning. We continue our devotion of thought and heart toward God in Christ Jesus, his Son, as we consider the word of the Lord. And I bring to your attention one verse of Scripture. O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Do you recognize this statement? Do you know who said that? Do you know to whom that individual was speaking and what the occasion was? O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Well, I have no doubt that some of you would recognize it immediately and that you would be able to say, well, that was the occasion when Jesus was speaking to Peter, whom he had invited to come to him in response to Peter's request, walking on water, to come to Jesus, who had approached the boat walking on the water. And that Peter had made a good beginning. He got out of the boat and started walking on the water toward Jesus. And then he saw the waves or the wind and the waves. And he then became weakened in his faith and began to sink. And Jesus said, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? The passage in which it is found is in Matthew chapter 14, beginning at verse 22. And the parallel of this account of Jesus walking on the water is found in two other gospel books, in Mark chapter 6, John chapter 6, but it's only Matthew who tells us about Peter walking on the water to go out and meet Jesus on the water of the Sea of Galilee. Matthew 14, verses 22 through 33. Jesus said to him, O thou of little faith, as Jesus reached out, extending his hand to take hold of sinking Peter, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Our Lord's words to the Apostle Peter give us reason to wonder about the state of our own faith. That is, it does if we read Scripture correctly, as God intends for us to read it, thinking about it, the word is a word of God to ourselves. What about my faith? The Bible reader ought to think, whether he's a Christian or not yet a Christian, but an interested reader of God's word. But even the Christian might well wonder in reading these words, what about my faith? Here's an apostle of Christ who had been walking with Jesus, hearing his teaching, becoming impressed with his personality, his ways of dealing with people, wondering along with the rest of them at the power of Christ, both in word and deed, having witnessed already at this point many miracles, and then sinking in water on which he had just been walking by the power of Christ. O thou of little faith, wherefore dost thou doubt? What about my faith? Matthew records three statements that Jesus made on that occasion, two of them to the Apostle Peter. I want to use those three statements as a way of helping us to evaluate the state of our own faith. These statements are found in verses 27, 29, and 31. The second and third of those three statements were spoken to Peter, and it's with those two that I want to begin. First of all, Jesus said to Peter, come. One word. And it can be viewed as a command or an invitation or both. Peter had requested that he might be able to come to Jesus. If it's really you, Jesus, then let me come to you. And Jesus said, come. And when you read that, it is a permission granted, and with it is an encouragement to Peter to come, an encouragement to his faith, a response to a commendable request on the part of Peter and his faith. Did Peter have sufficient reason to believe in Jesus? Well, we think he did. The Lord certainly thought he had sufficient reasons to trust in Jesus. Based on the experiences of walking with Jesus, following him, hearing what he heard, seeing what he had seen already, he had certain good reasons. And then seeing Jesus on that occasion, walking on the water, approaching them, they were halfway across the Sea of Galilee at this point, based on what John tells us about distance in John chapter 6 concerning this event. And Jesus had come to them where they had left him on the land on the opposite shore. How else could he be there but the way they see him there, walking on the water? So in that event and in all that had gone before, he had good reasons for trusting in Jesus when Jesus said, come. A command, yes, but an invitation, an encouragement, a permission. Yes, Peter, you may come to me. And so he begins walking on the water. There are other words in Matthew's gospel book that might come to mind when you hear Jesus saying to Peter, come. Using a different word, but it has the same meaning. Jesus had spoken earlier to Peter and his brother Andrew at the Sea of Galilee on the shore and had said to them, come after me, and I will make you fishers of men. Matthew 4, verse 19. And Peter and Andrew had done so that very day. They had answered that command of Christ, that invitation, come after me. And so it is also that we read that same word as Peter heard it and all the apostles when Jesus was speaking to a group of people, including the disciples. And he said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. You shall find rest to your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30 begins with the word come. Come to me. And only those who trust in him will answer such an invitation to come to Christ. Because what he's speaking about there is coming to him to follow him, to be with him, in one's life, to live life by the direction of Christ and find the blessing of rest and all the other good things that Christ will give to such an individual. Matthew has himself in the book that he wrote in chapter 9, verse 9, there on that occasion when he was at his job sitting at the place of toll at the Sea of Galilee, Jesus used a different word in speaking to Matthew. He said to him, follow me. Matthew arose and followed him. Again, that's Matthew 9 and verse 9. But this word come, as recorded here in Matthew 14, when Jesus simply said to Peter, out on the sea, in the midst of the wind and the waves, come, that one word. That very word is used in Matthew 16, verse 24, when Jesus was speaking to his disciples, and he said, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. That word follows, the word the Lord spoke to Matthew. The word come is the word that he had spoken to others of his disciples. To come to Christ is to follow Christ, as that passage clearly says. And there is a description of the life of discipleship, to come to Christ and to follow him. And required in that is that one relinquishes the absolute control of his own life to this person, to Jesus Christ. To come to him is to surrender that self-centered way of looking at life, and to give one's life over to Christ and to follow him. It is a call, it is an invitation, and it is spoken with authority, and therefore to receive it in faith is to receive it as a command, and to understand it in that way, that one is obeying the word come, and intends to do so for the rest of one's life. And that is a step of faith, yes, but it's a way of life into which one is entering. That is the call of the gospel, and that is the teaching of Christ for those who have answered that call. To obey the gospel is to enter into a life of continuing to follow Christ and to obey him. Come, follow me. That was the word that Jesus spoke to Peter then. But Jesus was standing on the water and walking. Peter was yet in the boat, Jesus said to him, in answer to Peter's request, come. And then when Peter was sinking and the Lord reached out to take hold of him, Jesus said to him, and this is the second statement that we look at in this passage, it's verse 31, Matthew 14. O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? On another occasion, Jesus spoke to all of his disciples about their little faith. So Peter is not singled out here as a weakling among the apostles in his faith. It was another occasion on the Sea of Galilee when there was a great storm. And the disciples came to Jesus, who was in the boat with them, and said, save, Lord, we perish. And Jesus said, oh, you of little faith. That's in chapter 8, verse 26 in this same book. So Jesus, awakened by these alarmed disciples, commanded, and the storm was stilled, and there was a great calm. And then later in this same gospel book of Matthew, chapter 16 and verse 8, Jesus gave a warning to his disciples, said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they start talking among themselves and wondering, you know, he said that to us because we forgot to bring bread. That's why he's making that lesson, because he's thinking about the fact that we were so thoughtless, we didn't provide for this journey. And he's using that as an opportunity to teach a lesson about leaven. And Jesus said, oh, you of little faith. Why would I be concentrating upon provision for a journey? You not remember the feeding of the 5,000, the feeding of the 4,000, how much food was left over on both occasions? So there's no connection between the lesson and their lack of material or physical provision, the lack of food on board. Their faith wasn't working in the right way in this matter. Their faith was little. It needed to grow so it would work right and understand his words rightly. Little faith, still little faith. That's chapter 16 and verse 8. Jesus had spoken in this way to the disciples and a multitude of people together in the Sermon on the Mount. And I know you recall this when Jesus was talking about the problem of anxiety, having too much care for the wrong things. Seek you first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Matthew 6, verse 33. Well, just before that, he said, consider the lilies of the field. They do not spin, they do not toil, but I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If the Father so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is not, is thrown into the oven, will he not so clothe you, O you of little faith? God can clothe the fields with that beauty in the manner of such care for his own people. Will God not take care of you, O you of little faith? That's in chapter 6 in the Sermon on the Mount. And so you of little faith, he says to Peter, the way we would say it today, instead of saying, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? We would say, like in an up-to-date translation and the way we speak English, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And that's very accurate, of course. That's exactly what Jesus said, if we put it in modern English. But the archaic pronoun thou is helpful in showing us that Jesus on this occasion, walking on the sea, raising up the sinking apostle, is speaking to him alone, one person to one other person, the Lord to this individual disciple. Again, if we're reading Scripture, as God wants us to read Scripture, we take that personally, vow of little faith, because that causes me to think about myself when I see that individual that's in view when Christ speaks. And perhaps that would help me to know the true value of words like this as they're expressed in this place and in other places. Instead of thinking about others, of my brothers and sisters and their little faith, first of all, I need to think about my own. What is the condition of my own faith in Jesus Christ? Do I trust him as I ought to trust him? Well, there's no doubt some people give such a thing a passing thought and move on, because they're not given to the self-examination to which we are commended by the scriptures itself, if we're to truly profit by the Lord's word. O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? The word wherefore means why, as it is put in the more modern translations. Why did you doubt? You know, doubt has reasons and causes. A Christian with his own doubts at times must know the reasons and the causes for that doubt. There's an explanation for it. And Jesus is asking Peter for an explanation. He wants Peter to think about that. Why did you doubt? The New Testament speaks about doubt in the use of a couple of different words. This word and one other, they are words that have the same meaning. It might be profitable for you to know that Jesus in chapter 21, in verse 21 of this gospel book, speaks to his apostles about their work and that they can pray in faith to the Father as they go about their work. They will be able to even to move mountains, if necessary, by the will of God, if they pray without doubting. Do you remember how James in James chapter 1 and verse 6 is talking about the lack of wisdom that we may detect in our own lives and the need for wisdom? Do you ever ask God for wisdom? James says, do that. And he said, do it without doubting. God gives that blessing. So pray and ask for it without doubting. And so it is that when the Lord sent the apostle Peter to the house of Cornelius, remember that account in Acts chapters 10 and verse 11? He told him to go without doubting. That is, without wavering, without hesitation. This is the command of God. It's what God wants you to do. You do it without any hesitation. Why would Jesus say that to Peter? If not for the fact that this was something so different, something so new to this apostle, something he had not formerly understood, that now hearing the word of Christ about it and understanding, there's a need for the encouragement. You go forth now and do it without doubting. And that's how we ought to operate in our response of faith to Christ. That understanding his will, we go forth and we do it without any hesitation, without doubting or wavering. In Matthew chapter 28 and verse 17, Matthew uses this same word that's used here when Jesus spoke to Peter. And he's describing a scene there in which Jesus has risen from the dead and his disciples have come to him in Galilee at a mountain. And there are those among his disciples there who worshiped him, their risen Lord. And there were some who had doubt. Matthew 28, verse 17. Have you ever wondered about that passage? You ever been puzzled about it? Well, I have. How could people, seeing this one who had been crucified and buried, now speaking to them, whom they recognize, have doubt? Was it doubt about his identity? Or was it doubt about what he then went on to say to them? Because they knew he had something to say to them about their lives. He said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Though go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. May it not be the case that their doubt was about that commission, about the authority behind it, about going into all the world, how daunting to consider that, given who they were, to go in his name and preach the gospel, make disciples in all nations, and he will be with us? Perhaps their hesitation, their wavering, connected with some fear, was about that commission. But whatever the case may be, we can say this. That is a commission from Christ that we cannot fulfill without faith, that has no doubts, that we go forward in that work without wavering, without hesitation, that we are full of strong conviction that the Christ who was crucified and was buried did indeed arise from the dead, and he has all authority in heaven and on earth, and that he will fulfill his promise. And in this work, he will be with us to the end of the world. It's only with that kind of conviction, without doubting, that that commission can be fulfilled. O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And then the other word that Jesus spoke on that occasion: be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. That's the first of the statements that Jesus is recorded to have made on that occasion. And he spoke that not to the Apostle Peter alone, but to all the disciples in the boat. Be of good cheer. Word means have courage. It is I. Be not afraid. Those of us who are his disciples, who are Christians, we too can be described as in a boat on a journey in this world. And sometimes that journey is distressed by the waves, and the wind is contrary, to use descriptions from this scene in Matthew chapter 14. And therefore, there will be times in life that we may find these words very helpful to us. Be of good courage. It is I. Be not afraid. Here are words that are worth thinking about slowly and letting them sink into one's heart and to believe it. But you can almost hear the voice of doubt, the very thing for which Jesus rebuked Peter, the voice of doubt that would say, that was then, this is now. That was Jesus standing on water, speaking to his apostles. That was then, this is now. And I say to you, if you speak in that way or think in that way, you may not be reading Scripture correctly. Why is this in the Bible? If it is not like the words that Jesus spoke to a group of disciples with mixed minds, mixed thoughts, lo, I am with you always to the end of the world. Do not let doubt rob you of the force and the power of these words of Christ. Have courage. It is I. Be not afraid. Receiving those words in a personal way can bring strength and comfort and peace and courage and great hope. We spoke about a command of Christ to Peter, an invitation. The gospel comes to us in that way. It is a call from Christ to come to him. It is an invitation. For to you is this call, said the Apostle Peter, to your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call to him. It came with a command, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, every one of you, to the remission of your sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Those words found in Acts chapter 2, verses 38 and 39. Can we trust him who calls us? Can we trust him completely? That's an answer that must be given by the individual. And the individual must answer it by saying, yes, I trust him, and I will not allow hesitation or doubt to rob me of what he promises, the forgiveness of my sins, the presence of his life in my life, and the joys and the blessings of following and serving him. Let us stand and sing.